This is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Before we get started, as usual, just a quick review of what the ratings mean. 5 stars means extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. The first restaurant review I'm going to read is for Gregoria's Kitchen, actually, and they're located at 2818 Chapel Hill Road in Durham, phone number 797-2747, and they received 3 stars. Potted palms flank the entrance to the distinctive stone building that houses Gregoria's Kitchen, suggesting that a certain elegance awaits inside, or maybe a tropical motif. Turns out it's both. Just inside the door of the Cuban restaurant, which opened last September after an extensive makeover of the building that longtime locals will recall as the erstwhile home of a peddler steakhouse, you're warmly greeted by dining room manager Bert Ramos, dapper in jacket and tie. Behind him, the intimate scale of the rooms and the patina of hardwood floors reflect the building's original incarnation as a private residence. The only hint that the space was more recently a steakhouse is the copper grill exhaust hood, under which a bartender now muddles sugar cane with mint, lime juice, and rum for mojitos at a cozy bar. Soft lighting from sconces and chandeliers of wrought iron scrollwork washes over vintage still-life paintings and tropical island landscapes hung on walls of deep claret red. Latin music, soft and sultry, wafts through the rooms, reinforcing a nostalgic pre-Castro Cuban mood. For owner chef Dania Gonzalez, it isn't the sights and sounds so much as the aromas that define Gregoria's Kitchen. Gonzalez named the restaurant for her native Cuban mother, in whose kitchen she first developed a passion for cooking. Her professional career has taken her from southern Florida, where she grew up, to the Triangle, where her resume stretches back well over a decade to Cafe Gigorgio and Finn's, back when those restaurants flourished in North Raleigh. For the past several years, Gonzalez has cooked for Three Seasons Catering in Durham. Faris Hanna, owner of the catering firm, is so impressed with Gonzalez's talent and her dedication to preserving the memories of her mother's kitchen that he's partnering with her in her debut venture. If the food doesn't smell like what she remembers, Hanna says, she won't let it go out of the dining room. Among those memories, surely, is the briny perfume of Migliano's, mussels sautéed in white wine with roasted tomatoes and Spanish chorizo, and the earthy aroma of chirichurrones, also offered under the appetizer heading cube nuggets of pork belly, whose alternating layers of crisp lean meat and unctuous fat are played off against the tang of tamarind dipping sauce. The fragrance is more subtle than slivers of serrano ham atop delicately crisp croquetas con jamón. The flavor explodes when you pop it in your mouth, where it's warmed and amplified by a bite of the bechamel-enriched croquette. Platano Maduro Relleno, sweet plantain stuffed with a savory hash of minced beef, onion, garlic, and red pepper, is likewise rewarding. The garlicky aroma of lechon asado tantalizes when a plate mounded with shreds of the classic Cuban slow-roasted pork, surrounded by a kaleidoscope of sliced avocado, grilled vegetables, and tostones, is set before you. But the flavor of the pork is disappointingly restrained. There is no shortage of flavor in the grilled skirt steak, however, which is topped with a pungent Cuban riff on chimichurri and accompanied by crisp golden batons of fried yuca. Nor will vaca frita disappoint, a tangle of beef shreds, some soft and succulent, others seared to a satisfying crunchiness, combining for a taste infinitely more delightful than the name, which translates to fried cow, what that would lead you to expect. Notwithstanding all the tributes to her culinary roots, Gonzalez isn't above engaging in a little artistic license now and then. She fills crisp miniature taco shells with bits of house-smoked fish tossed in a cerveche-like citrus dressing for a snazzy appetizer. Her nightly fish special might pair grouper or mahi with fresh pineapple and wilted arugula. The chef even tinkers with ropa veje, a stew of beef, tomato, garlic, and herbs that is a defining dish of Cuban cuisine. Gonzalez jazzes up the traditional version with green olives and chickpeas for a variation that's refreshingly different while preserving the original character of the dish. For dessert, I'd skip the eggy-tasting coconut flan and opt instead for the guava pastry or the dark rum-spiked tres leches cake, or maybe just drink dessert in the form of one of those sweet mojitos. For all its elegance, Gregoria's Kitchen is by no means a stuffy place. Under Ramos' direction, the waitstaff, variable in experience but uniformly eager to please, set a relaxed, welcoming tone. The restaurant has just added a Sunday brunch service with a tempting offering ranging from churrasco steak and eggs to fresh fruit with pan dulce, a Latin American sweetbread, and Cafe Cubana, of course, which I'm sure makes the smells coming out of the kitchen even more mouth-watering. Again, Gregoria's Kitchen received 3 stars, located at 2818 Chapel Hill Road in Durham, phone number 797-2747. The next review is for the Red Monkey Tavern. Red Monkey Tavern is located at 4325 Glenwood Avenue in the Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh, phone number 896-7412, and they received 2.5 stars. You won't need the mall directory to find Red Monkey Tavern, a brash new eatery with the gastropub aspirations in Crabtree Valley Mall. There's an entrance from the outside, facing Glenwood Avenue at the Belk Department Store end. Even if you choose to enter the restaurant from inside the mall, you can't miss it. Directly in front of the entrance, suspended from the mall ceiling as if in mid-flight, is a scarlet-red biplane. We're talking an actual biplane, not a scale model. Its name is the Red Monkey, and it belongs to Payman Bouzaband, the restaurant's owner and a certified pilot who used to fly it. He named the plane, and in turn the restaurant, after another biplane belonging to a fellow pilot he met a few years ago in Barcelona. Its new mission is to carry you off on a dining adventure. But where will you choose to land? Downstairs is the more casual space, an open to the mall room defined by faux palm trees, deep circular banquettes, a cluster of tables, and a small ancillary bar, a sort of a beer garden in a mall with a tropical motif. That's tame compared to the main dining room upstairs, where the prominent, but by no means only, recurring themes are monkeys, early aviation, and vintage film stars, all interwoven into a sculptured metal tapestry of steampunk style. If ever there was a case of, quote, words don't do it justice, this is it. The decor sets the mood for an eclectic menu that's hangered in America, but hops all over the globe from buffalo oysters to fantasy island wings to Irish nachos, an extravaganza of waffle-cut fries, diced pancetta, applewood smoked bacon, and whiskey cheese sauce that's tailor-made for the bar's selection of 12 North Carolina draft beers. Or maybe you'd prefer a cocktail, a monkey colada, say, or a trip to Brazil. Just be sure to fasten your seatbelt. While the menu can transport you to some exciting destinations, you're likely to encounter turbulence along the way. Panko-breaded fried avocado slices are a delightfully different starter, though they sometimes need a shake of salt to make them soar. Mussels steamed in amber ale, on the other hand, never got off the ground when I tried them. The broth, spiked with jalapeno, chopped garlic, lemon zest, and white wine, was just too bitter and pungent. Fortunately, the mussels are slated to be retired any day now when the new spring menu comes out. The Red Monkey's entree itinerary is adventurous and unpredictable. Spicy duck enchiladas, featuring succulent shreds of braised meat in flour tortillas rolled under a colorful patchwork of cheese and chili sauces, are a worthwhile destination. So are beer-battered fish and chips, which pairs North Carolina cod with an unusual medley of shoestring fries and sweet potato fries. Shrimp and grits score a clean takeoff with plump shellfish and a creamy coarse-ground grits, but they stall out on an oversalted wild mushroom sherry sauce. Lobster and pancetta mac and cheese, one of 5 variations on the trendy theme, comes close to the mark, but could use more of that rich cheese sauce. If you're in the mood for something lighter, you might chart your course for local greens, where you'll discover exotic combinations of flora and fauna, such as the nutty monkey, grilled chicken, julienne carrots and jicama, and organic greens in a Swedish coconut peanut dressing topped with toasted coconut and spicy peanuts. Alternatively, you might head for burgers and sandwiches, which options include a falafel wrap, Oscar burger with sautéed spinach, lump crab meat, and hollandaise, and a southern-style Reuben starring thinly sliced smoked beef brisket. Spring for first-class fare of $17.95, and you'll get your money's worth of butter-poached lobster chunks on a lobster BLT. Given Red Monkey's location and over-the-top style, it's tempting to assume that it's a chain restaurant. It isn't. Payman Bouzaban is a longtime Raleigh restaurateur who currently owns Brazza Brazilian Steakhouse and is partner in the local Crazy Fire chain. A savvy marketer, Bouzaban told me he was keenly aware of the need for a bold concept to compete with the national chain restaurants in the mall. On that count, Red Monkey Tavern doesn't take a backseat to P.F. Chang's or the Cheesecake Factory. Now, if the kitchen can just get its consistency up to speed, the Red Monkey could really take off. Again, the Red Monkey Tavern received 2.5 stars, located at 4325 Glenwood Avenue at the Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh, phone number 896-7412. Troy Meze Lounge, which is located at 317 Blake Street and they're in Raleigh, and their phone number 834-8133, received 3 stars. Entering Troy Meze Lounge, you leave the cobblestone streets of City Market in downtown Raleigh and step into a Turkish taverna. You're seated at a simple wooden table and take in your surroundings, walls draped with kilim rugs, ornate colored glass lanterns suspended over the bar, a collection of rustic urns on a high shelf. Then you open the menu, and the illusion is reinforced when you're confronted by an extensive list of dishes with exotic names like mukfer, asiliezmi, and sagara borage. Not to worry. The menu is a capable tour guide, providing descriptions in English of every dish. Mukfer, it informs you, are fritters of zucchini, Turkish feta cheese, dill, mint, and green onions served with tzatziki sauce. A silly esmi is a dip of crushed tomatoes with Anaheim peppers, spring onions, fresh herbs, and spices. And sagara borage? Turns out its name contains a hint. Cigar-shaped pastry, think phyllo, stuffed with Turkish feta cheese, fresh herbs, and parsley, served with fresh tomato sauce. The menu gives you a heads up that the Turkish dalmades, grape leaves stuffed with rice, pine nuts, currants, and onions, are a bit sweeter than their Greek counterparts. And that the hederi, Turkey's answer to Lebanese labneh, comes with a bonus sprinkling of chopped walnuts and fresh mint. Even with such generally helpful descriptions, there is the occasional surprise. Bakanga, billed as pan-fried pastry stuffed with Turkish pastrami, kasseri cheese, and tomatoes, turns out to be delicate cylinders of baked phyllo. Kasili karads, pan-seared prawns served over a white wine honey apricot sauce with toasted almonds, isn't as sweet as it sounds. Nor that you'll necessarily be disappointed with either deviation from the script. These are just a few of the nearly 24 hot and cold mezze at Troy. If you're bewildered by the variety, you'll find relief in the mezze platter, an artfully arranged sampler of 7 vegetarian dishes. 8 if you count the unadvertised Turkish tabbouleh that, along with the dalmades and shakshuka, an earthy sweet medley of eggplant, potatoes, and carrots, were the favorites at our table. You can order any of these mezze individually, but then you'd miss out on the special baked-to-order lavish that comes with the platter. The sesame-spangled flatbread inflates like a balloon as it bakes. Our server aptly described it as puffy bread, then retains its swollen shape and cracker crisp texture. Tailor-made for mezze dipping, you might say. Like tapas, mezze can be a meal in itself or whet your appetite for more substantial fare. In the latter case, kuzu güvek should satisfy, a hearty melange of lamb, vegetables, and 3 cheeses baked in an individual ceramic dish. Shrimp, chicken, and vegetarian güvek, literally clay pot, are also available. Pied, Turkish-style pizza with toppings ranging from spinach to sun-dried Turkish sausage on a distinctive football-shaped crust, is another tempting possibility. Give in to temptation. At one end of the entree spectrum is Mediterranean eggplant, a vegetarian casserole reminiscent of moussaka. At the other is lamb shank braised in a broth of red wine, tomato, and pomegranate juice. In between, it's all pretty much variations on the Turkish kebab theme. The Troy Mixed Grill offers a shareable sampling of 5 of those variations. Beef and lamb kebabs are respectable, and chicken surprisingly moist and flavorful. Better still, for my money, are mixed beef and lamb patties, whose spicy flavor is reminiscent of the classic Turkish Adana kebabs, and homemade Turkish gyro, crisp-edged petals of beef and lamb that fans of Turkish cuisine will recognize as doner kebab. True to tradition, the grilled vegetables on the platter are more than just an afterthought, and the garnishing cluster of fresh dill, parsley, and mint is another welcome touch of authenticity and meant to be eaten. But the most memorable item on the platter remains hidden until the near end of the meal. Buried among the, under the mound of grilled meats, until you've consumed enough to reveal it, is a wide ribbon of lavash. The bread has absorbed all those meat juices and is now supple and rich with the mingled flavors of them all. As you leave, you notice the Trojan horse painted on the glass door. It's a fitting symbol, especially so, because owner Arif Dinik hails from a city in modern-day Turkey near the site of ancient Troy. But your mind is on more recent times. You're still relishing the memory of that meat juice-soaked lavash. Now that's a Trojan horse you'd be happy to let slip past the sentry any day. Again, Troy Mezzi Lounge received 3 stars, located at 317 Blake Street in Raleigh, phone number 834-8133. The last restaurant review I'm going to read is for a Thai restaurant. The name of this restaurant is Pad Thai, located at 2425 Guest Road in Durham, phone number 416-9009, and they received 2.5 stars. "Don't judge a book by its cover," was the subject line in an email from an enthusiastic foodie, encouraging me to check out Pad Thai. "The location isn't particularly inviting," she wrote, "but the place is clean and cheery on the inside, and the food is good." She especially recommended the summer rolls and spicy basil beef. Never one to pass up a tip about a potential hole-in-the-wall discovery, I decided to peek inside the covers of this recent addition to the local catalog of Thai titles. Here's my synopsis. Prologue. It all began when Wirapon Pumshaka got laid off from the printing company where she'd worked for 10 years. A native of Thailand who'd come to the States in 1999, the resourceful Pumshaka persuaded her husband, Vadison, to partner with her in opening a Thai restaurant. The couple settled on a location in a modest brick building off I-85 that had for over a decade been the home to the Vietnamese restaurant Kim Son. They spruced the place up, decorating it attractively on a shoestring budget. Colorful batik elephant print tablecloths added a distinctive note to an otherwise standard Thai restaurant decor. The couple opened the doors to Pad Thai last summer with Madison's brother, Sorasak, an experienced chef who has worked locally at Thai Lana, Champa, and Twisted Noodles, in charge of the kitchen. Chapter 1, A Tantalizing Beginning. The summer rolls, listed on the menu as fresh roll, turns out to be every bit as delightful as my tipster suggested. Featuring a pastel pistache of shrimp, chicken breast, carrot, lettuce, mint, and noodles visible through translucent rice paper wrappers, they're considerably larger than most and a bargain at $5.95 for two. Shrimp and blankets of crisp egg roll wrapper are another fetching starter. So is chicken satay, well-seared but still moist on bamboo skewers and served with a pair of tasty dipping sauces, traditional peanut, and a lightly sweet rice vinegar punctuated with finely diced cucumber and red onion. The first hint of discord in the Pad Thai story takes the form of the classic beef salad, yum na. The vegetables are fresh, and the petal-thin beef tender is, if ragged, but the dressing is a bland shadow of the ideal for the classic Thai classic that's supposed to sparkle with fish sauce, chilies, and lime. Thai coconut soup's flavor is likewise lacking in character, though fresh mushrooms, scallion, and tomato are welcome in garnishing touches. The soup and salad will prove to be foreshadowings of a reoccurring motif, emphasis on fresh ingredients too often undermined by timid spicing. Chapter 2, Yearning for More Spice. Green curry is one of the several dishes on the menu marked with 2 chilies, icons indicating that the dish is very hot. It isn't. It's flavorful, mind you, in chock-block with snappy green beans, julienne red and green bell peppers, and basil. But on a scale of 0 to 2 chilies, it's a 1 at best. That's pretty consistently the case across the board, from the coconut soup, rated 1 chili, to Penang curry, 2 chilies. I'd suggest mentally subtracting 1 chili from the ratings and ordering accordingly. If it's too chili heat you're craving, specify you want that dish extra spicy when you order it, and look serious when you're saying it. The restaurant's namesake dish is authentically mild, though it's the sweetest rendition of Pad Thai I ever recall having. Otherwise, the dish is a respectable rendition of traditional medley of rice noodles, bean sprouts, egg, scallion, and ground peanuts. Crispy Duck, one of the handful of listings under the Chef's Special heading, is worthy of its special place on the menu. But my favorite among all the dishes I sampled over the course of two visits is found among the regular entrees. Spicy basil beef serves up bright, crunchy vegetables and lean, exceptionally tender beef in a kaleidoscope of colors, textures, and flavors riddled with basil leaves. Once again, my email correspondent tip proves to be on the money. Chapter 3. Lost in the Weeds? Both times I dined at Pad Thai, once on a weeknight and again on a weekend, there was only one server on the floor. While friendly and enthusiastic, she was clearly overwhelmed at times. As a result, the meal felt rushed and confused. Entrees arriving midway through appetizers, server hurrying to place the appetizer order before you've had a chance to order drinks, that sort of thing. Chapter 4. Sweet Seduction. Mango over sticky rice. If it's available, get it. Tropically fragrant and artfully garnished with black sesame seeds and a drizzle of coconut cream, it will seduce you into planning a return visit to Pad Thai. You've confirmed the truth in the saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Next time, though, you'll know to give the table of contents a careful reading. Again, Pad Thai received 2.5 stars, located at 2425 Guest Road in Durham, phone number 416-9009. And we have time to read a few more restaurant news articles. Tyler's Bottle Shop now open in Seaboard Station. Tyler's Bottle Shop, a small craft beer store behind Tyler's Tap Room in Raleigh, is now open. The store is run by the folks who run the Tyler's Tap Rooms across the Triangle and a store, the Carborough Beverage Company in Carborough. The Raleigh store will carry 400 types of craft beer when it's fully stocked. Owner Tyler Huntington says if you can get the beer in the grocery store, you aren't likely to find it at the bottle shop. Rather, the owners are trying to select beers that aren't as readily available. Patrons of the Carborough store will recognize manager Jason Cole behind the counter, and Huntington says they plan to continue the Carborough store's customer service of Cole and his employees getting to know customers' likes and dislikes well enough to recommend beers. The store will also sell wine, brewery merchandise, barbecue sauces, and North Carolina peanuts. Eventually, Huntington says, he would like the store to carry packages of farmhand food sausage. And down the line, Huntington would like to offer coffee and espresso because there's no place nearby for folks to grab a cup of coffee. The new Tyler's Tap Room opened last month in Seaboard Station next to William Pierce University and in part of the space formerly occupied by Tukey's Grill. The address is 18 Seaboard Avenue, Suite 150. The entrance to Tyler's Tap Room faces downtown Raleigh. The entrance to the bottle shop is on the back side of the building, the same where patrons enter 18 Seaboard Restaurant, which is next door to Tyler's Tap Room. The bottle shop's hours are 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, although the store may stay open later on Friday and Saturday nights, and noon to 8 p.m. on Sunday. Here are some few restaurant openings. Daisy Cakes, the longtime member of the Triangle's food truck scene, with its distinctive Airstream trailer, opened its brick-and-mortar location back in mid-November. Daisy Cakes is the work of pastry chef Tanya Catalos, who used to work at the Washington Duke Inn, and her chef husband Conrad. They're serving breakfast, pastries, sandwiches, cupcakes, and other sweet treats. It's at 401A Foster Street in Durham, which is just a block away from the Durham Farmers Market and almost next door to the Piedmont Restaurant. Loaf, an artisan bakery that started at the Durham Farmers Market, opened also in mid-November. Loaf is strictly a walk-in, walk-out bakery. There's nowhere to sit to enjoy a cup of coffee, although you can buy one. Owner Ron Graff, a UNC arthritis researcher turned baker, says the bakery's most popular breads are polenta, multigrain, baguettes, and a market loaf, a signature 2-pound loaf with an airy interior and a good crust. Prices range from $4 to $6. The bakery offers sweet pastries from cinnamon rolls to country ham and cheddar cheese scones, chocolate croissants to lemon meringue tartlets. It also offers Chapel Hill creamery cheese, farmhand food sausage, pomegranate kitchen soups, and more in the deli case. The bakery is at 111 West Parish Street in downtown Durham. Graff says he'll continue to sell at the farmer's market. Mandolin opened the day before Thanksgiving in the space previously occupied by EVOO in the Raleigh's Five Points neighborhood. Chef owner Sean Fowler spent the last 6 years cooking at the Farentine House in Pittsburgh. Fowler describes the restaurant's cuisine as contemporary Southern with a classical French influence. An example would be the salmon cake with carrot, celery, and fennel salad, pickled beets, and a farm egg hollandaise sauce. The restaurant serves dinner Tuesdays through Sundays. While it initially served lunch, Fowler says, Mandolin is discontinuing lunch during the week, but will serve brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. The restaurant is located at 2519 Fairview Road. Oro Restaurant and Lounge should open this spring at the corner of Martin and Wilmington Streets on the ground floor of the RBC Plaza. Oro, which means gold in Spanish and Italian, is the work of husband and wife team Chris Halton, former chef at the Mint in downtown Raleigh, and Kara Zalek Halton, who has an MBA. The couple met in Washington, D.C. and have moved to Raleigh 3 years ago. Chris Halton, 38, is a native of Jamaica and became a U.S. citizen 2 years ago. He says he wanted to be a chef since he took a home economics course in high school in Jamaica. The 3,000-square-foot space will sit about 100 people, feature an open-air kitchen and a mezzanine with a fireplace. The restaurant will serve global cuisine in a tapas style from lobster mac and cheese to corn on the cob with miso butter and seven pepper spice. Nothing will cost more than $15. The eatery will also serve 16 wines on tap and local beers. It will be open for lunch 5 days a week and dinner 7 days a week. And the address is going to be 18 East Martin Street, and again, that's in Raleigh. We have time to read one more quick opening. Blend Cafe is now open in Durham. Blend Cafe, a new coffee shop in the Golden Belt in downtown Durham, opened last month. Manager Courtney Smith says the shop serves counterculture coffee, soups, salads, sandwiches, pastries, frozen yogurt, and smoothies. Smith, who is a culinary student at Wake Tech and used to work in the kitchens at Earth Fair, says the staff is trying to make as much as possible in-house, trying to use some local ingredients. Blend is open 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. It's located at 807 East Main Street in Durham, inside the Golden Belt Complex. And for more information, they have an address for a Facebook page, www.facebook.com/blendcafegoldenbelt. And it does look like that we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. And I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.